Jazz, and we are at the Comedy Festival, a comedy festival. I'm so excited to be here with my co-podcaster, Zara.
Hey, hey!
We're in Los Angeles, and for folks that don't know, the Comedy Festival is a festival where, really, it's like all Asian Americans, but we don't like to say Asian Americans.
But what? It's only a comedy festival. They didn't tell me it was an Asian American comedy festival.
And there you have it.
Uh-huh.
Zara, I haven't seen you in like forever.
But I see you online.
I know. But you've been really busy. I feel so. The last time we recorded a podcast was actually 8 weeks ago. So we're basically sliding in. We saved recording the August podcast for the end of August so that we could be here at the festival. And there's a lot that's been happening.
Yeah, I have been to like 3 or 4 different states, I think.
Yeah, I think same.
In the last two
Same-sy.
Months. And you went to the White House for the second time.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I went to the White House for the second time. I went for the Eid party. I'll talk about that later. I'm very excited to talk about that, though.
I'm going to be heading to New York in a week.
I'm excited for your trip. You're going to have a ton of fun.
Me too.
And you were just in New York at the Muslim Funny Fest.
I was. I conquered. Everyone laughed at me the most.
That was awesome. This is the second year that happened. I'm so excited you got to do that.
Well, pretty much everything I put my mind to, I'm successful at and achieved. So it
Seems.
Was good to be consistent. High five. Bam.
I do want to mention that here at the Comedy Festival, a comedy festival, we are in the podcast lounge. It is Saturday. There's going to be 4 other podcasts here. We are part of we're joining a collective, Zara. We're joining the Potluck Podcast Collective, which is an Asian American podcast collective here in Los Angeles. We're not quite sure what it's going to look like. We just basically all hang out together and want to help each other become better. So if you want to follow us, you can follow us on Twitter at Podcast Potluck, and we will have a really nice fancy website up soon. I'm excited to be one of the having our podcast there.
Is this LA specific or like any podcast in the country?
For now, it's LA specific, but we hope to find all these other Asian American podcasts all across the nation.
Maybe when the president leaves office and he wants to start his own podcast, he'll hit us up.
Maybe he can join our potluck. He has to bring the good food, though.
That'd be rad.
Oh, I have something else I wanted to talk about.
Which is?
I'm in a book.
What? Another one?
Yeah, it's called Good Girls Marry Doctors. I think I've talked about it in the podcast before, but if you go to auntloot.com, you can now get it for 20% off. I think it's going to be published on Amazon in a month.
Okay, hold up. Of the two of us, one of us is married to a doctor.
Yes.
And that would be me.
Which would make you the good one and me the bad one.
Is this the end of the good Muslim, bad Muslim controversy?
I know.
Has it now been determined? And I'm going to be on a bill with Eve Ensler.
That's so exciting.
Ah! She is going to be at the 2016 Uncharted Festival of Ideas in Berkeley, which is produced by Berkeley Side. They came to our ICCNC
show. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, they were there. And
are you going to be talking about your vagina?
Oh, totally.
Yeah?
Totally.
Are you going to do the story from Love Inshallah?
This is now highlighting the fact that I have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh.
But I will have that figured out by the time everyone listens to this and gets their tickets to attend to see me.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Zara already knows what she's going to do.
I got a little bit sidetracked when I got my Google alert that said that I was mentioned in the same article as
Yeah,
Eve
that's pretty
Ensler,
badass.
Let alone the same show. I'm super
She's
stoked.
Such an inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, she basically birthed a whole movement.
Yeah. Of women's talking about their vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I just get annoyed because I like can hear in my head all of the people being like, I roll, both men and women who are like, aren't women done talking about their vagina? But we're saying this in the same landscape that cannot get enough Spider-Man origin stories. So until we figure out exactly how Spider-Man came to be, we get to still keep talking about vaginas.
Amen. Amin.
All right, let's get into our big topics, Taz.
I'm so excited about this. August is Muslim Appreciation Month. And I'm also kind of sad about this because no one bought me a cake this month.
A, somebody needs to get a cake.
Yes, I know. Someone needs to get me a cake.
Immediately,
because August is almost done.
Also, I want to say to all the Muslims, we appreciate you.
You're so appreciated.
We love you.
So this is a new thing. California has never done this before. This is the first time it's been done. So earlier this month, the California State Assembly voted to have a resolution to declare August Muslim Appreciation and Awareness Month. And it was California Assembly Member Bill Quirk who did it, which is pretty amazing. And I think what's also cool is that we got it and no one else in the rest of the country got it. So, like, once again, California's awesome. Just saying.
California is awesome. Everything is cool when you're in California, which is dying of drought, but that's okay.
Because people appreciate us. Zara, has anyone done anything to appreciate you and your Muslimness this month?
Can we go back to talking about my good Muslim doctor husband?
What has your good Muslim doctor done for you?
I don't know. I'm just making dirty innuendo so everybody just gets envious of some fake amount of sex I'm having that they're not. That was the sole goal. I didn't really have anything planned beyond that. For appreciation, I would like to give kudos to JetBlue in Muslim Appreciation Month.
Yeah, why?
Because I've been using them exclusively all month because I hate Southwest.
Yeah.
And every time I'm on the runway passing by Southwest, I Snapchat it because I don't fly Southwest. Muslims fly JetBlue. Thank you, JetBlue, for appreciating this Muslim this month with extra legroom that I pay for. But it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
So I was thinking about like the things that I wish I had for Muslim Appreciation Month. I think that all Muslims need to have all their meals paid for this month. I think that would be great.
Like a per diem, a Muslim per diem?
Yeah, just for the month of August.
Check.
I want my rent free. Like, August should just be free. No rent.
I'm just going to nod at that because I live with my folks. No comment.
All these other podcasts get period panties. I think we need period panties.
Okay, wait. Hold up. I did not know that all the podcasts are getting it.
All the female podcasts are getting it. And I think we need some swag.
At first, my response was going to be period panties. I don't need those. But then you just told me that everybody's getting them. And now I feel a little bit of FOMO.
Yeah. So I think we need to get them. And then finally, the last thing on my list is I'm really into LaCroix right now, or LaCroix.
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 And I want Zum Zum water LaCroix.
I am of the opinion that the pamplemousse flavor, grapefruit, they should just change the name to Zum Zum.
Zum Zum.
Because it's delicious.
We should just change LaCroix to Zum Zum.
Is it LaCroix or LaCroix?
I've heard the people in the Midwest say LaCroix.
That's the Midwest, though.
I know, but it came from the Midwest.
Nothing against the Midwest. Nothing against the Midwest. Nothing against the Midwest. You're just pronouncing things wrong. Okay, I have a couple of things that make me feel not appreciated.
Tell me about it.
Thank you for giving me this space. I do not appreciate that my Covered California premiums tripled.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Yeah, good question. They tripled. Like, they tripled, Taz.
Is this like when you get into a car accident and they triple? Because that's supposed to be, no?
I didn't get into a car accident. I'm a healthy lady. Mm-hmm. Maybe they know something I don't. What if they're holding on to test results and they're not telling me?
I know. All right. So Covered California needs to appreciate Muslims more.
Lowered payments for Muslims.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the month of August, at least, you know what they'll do? They'll do what Macy's does.
What?
They'll lower all their prices in the month of August and then crank them up the rest of the year. I'm on to you.
Do you know who's not being appreciated? Muslim women beachgoers in France who wear burkinis.
Oh, I thought people just generally really don't care about what Muslim women wear or what women wear in general. Sarcasm font. Oh, is France at it again?
France is at it again. France is always at it.
I like how France can be like, hey, we're going to be the country with the best social infrastructure in the world, except for racism.
Yeah.
Still. Ha ha.
So I have a question for you. Have you ever worn a burkini?
Well, technically, I've worn a wetsuit.
Yeah, which is the creeping Sharia of burkinis.
A court in France did overturn it.
Thank Allah for that.
Another creeping Sharia right there. Mm-hmm. And yet, like, it surprises me that more feminists are not writing about this, getting behind it. I'm a little peeved because I feel.
Oh, really? Because I felt like my feed was all covered about the burkini and I was like over burkinied.
Well, but I don't mean specifically about the burkini. I mean, like, highlighting that this act, the act of, I don't know, harassing women, period.
Yeah.
In this situation, Muslim women, about what they wear should just be like a no, done. This conversation's
over.
Well,
the thing that I really appreciated about some of the things that I saw coming out was how people were comparing this to women who used to go to the beach in the early 1900s and how policemen used to come and like measure how long your skirts were. You know, they would try to restrict dress codes back then. And this is just kind of like the reverse version of that. So it doesn't really matter what women wear, whether you're Muslim or not. You're just constantly being policed about your clothing.
They're basically saying what it doesn't matter where our social consciousness is.
Yeah.
You need to be trendy. Like whatever it is everyone else is doing, you need to get on top of that.
But the other thing is, like, you don't see them going to, like, nuns and saying, like, you can't go on the beach wearing your habit.
No. And, I mean, I used to have a joke about this where I would say, like, it's basically, like, anyone walking up to a Muslim woman or any other woman and just being like, show me your tits. If you're liberated, show me your tits.
Yeah.
But in France, they do that.
It's true.
So I'm at a loss there. But maybe once I take off my clothes and show my tits, I'll feel a little more liberated. I don't know.
Well, what do you wear when you go swimming?
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah, I like to commando it.
Nice. That must have been really fun in PE class for all the other guys.
I never went swimming during PE because apart from needing to be modest, you know, like my parents told me, then I also was embarrassed about my body.
Okay. So this goes to what I wanted to talk about, because I also was really uncomfortable growing up in junior high and like going to swim class. So I never like really learned how to swim.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe if I had a burkini, I would have learned to swim. I don't know.
You're by a coastline.
I know, but these coasts have really big waves that have really strong riptides and undercurrent. And
this
is
more reason for you to know how to swim.
I just don't go in the water.
It feels unsafe.
Are you going to teach me?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Breaststroke. Are we going to go in naked?
No.
Oh.
We're talking about burkinis.
Well, I wasn't sure at first, but you seem so certain. Okay, it's interesting that France is like, no to the burkini, it's extremist, blah, blah, blah. But when the whole time they're actually inciting violence and hate crimes themselves.
Yeah.
Which also is a domestic issue.
Yeah, you know who's inciting hate crimes? I still think that this is Trump that's doing it. The latest two hate crimes that really came up recently was there was an imam and an acquaintance that were leaving a mosque in Queens. They were shot in the back of their head while they were leaving. I think there's been talk about if it's a hate crime or if it's not a hate crime, which is so stupid. And then like a couple days after that, there was an incident that happened in Texas where this man named Khaled Jabara, who's our age, basically, he was in his 30s, was killed by his neighbor. His neighbor called him a dirty Arab. His mother had just been driven over by this neighbor. Khaled Jabara had called the police asking for help. The police said that we can't do anything. And then he died. It's so tragic that this man like called the police and tried to seek for help. And there was evidence that his mother had just like been run over by him, and he had moved in with his dad because he was dealing with some health issues and his mom was starting up a catering business. And, you know, like it's just so terrible that things like this are happening.
Can you imagine if a neighbor ran over a white woman?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Then everyone would be talking about it.
Yeah. I don't think it would be like, well, she wears hijab, though.
Right. But the thing about this family is I don't think they're not even Muslim. They're Arab non-Muslims. And it's just because they were perceived as Muslim.
This is like racism, hate crime, like the definition of it. I don't understand. Yeah. Is the second one also in controversy about whether or not it's a hate crime?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. It's totally stupid how they're both in controversy.
This is terrifying.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying. Like, you can't exist in your own home without the fear of your neighbor going berserk on you.
Well, then there's no recourse.
Yeah, and you can't call the police. I think that's what's so scary about the second one is, like, not only is there no recourse, but, like, you can't call anyone for help when shit's terrible.
This makes me nauseous because it makes me feel like very explicitly Texas is, like you said, using Donald Trump and his inciting rhetoric.
Yeah.
As a way of, A, looking the other way, and it's like Texas authorities are implicit in the racist rhetoric that Donald Trump is spouting by not taking any real action.
Yeah.
And it feels like a very overt way of saying, brown and black people, get out of this state.
Yeah.
Or we'll kill you.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, am I being hyperbolic?
No.
It feels very real.
I think it would have been hyperbolic in other situations, but I think considering the state of the society we live in, it's not. The thing that really bothers me about this is that, like, every podcast we're talking about hate crimes. And sometimes when I'm working on the agenda, I'm like, maybe we shouldn't talk about it this time. Then I stop myself and I say, like, we have to talk about this. We need to highlight that this is a real issue that's going on about the American Muslim experience, and that we have to bring it to light. And it's so important that we show people that this is our normal, that we not hide these narratives. But at the same time, it is pretty constant. Like, every month it feels like we're talking about something like this. And it's really hard to, like, find a spin to put on it and make it different than the last time we talked about it. But really, it's just like a hate crime happened again.
And the authorities are not calling it a hate crime.
Again. It's hard to have analysis on it every month, but, you know, we think it's important to talk about it.
I just keep thinking of my parents, like, and it makes me worried.
Oh, yeah. All the time. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely not going to get better when we talk about Election Watch.
We have seen a war on faith.
Is there a Muslim problem in the world?
Absolutely.
I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation.
Election Watch. The DNC happened since we last spoke, and the RNC. And I was watching the DNC. Actually, I was at Angry Asian Man's house, and we were all watching the DNC together. And I always do this thing. I do the count. Like, internally, I do, like, a brown count. Mm-hmm. So I, like, see how many, like, brown people are on stage. So I was really excited to see all these Muslim, brownish, non-white faces kind of cross the stage at the DNC. And then Khizr Khan went on stage. He looked like an uncle that I've seen at parties. He went on stage with his wife, who had her, like, nice little dupatta over her head. And she was, like, standing next to him. And they were talking about how their son, Humayun Khan, he was a Muslim soldier who died in battle. And it was, I don't know. I actually had, like, mixed feelings while I was watching him on stage. Because on one hand, I was just like, oh, my gosh. This is, like, that, like, Muslim military, good Muslim narrative that they're kind of, like, pushing out there. And right. You know how I don't like that. But then the backlash happened, right? So then Donald Trump was talking about how his wife was quiet and was like, oh, she's just like a Muslim woman that has no voice standing there. And then shit really went down on Twitter. And then there's this like hashtag campaign called Can You Hear Us Now?
Which, can I just say,
yeah.
I was off the grid, so to speak, mid-travel. And then when I went to go catch up on this hashtag, who should pop up but my co-host trending, talking about this. Tell us about it.
There was a bunch of Muslim women that got together to coordinate around this Can You Hear Us Now hashtag. And I was on a couple of email threads and I hadn't really been paying attention. Then I was like, okay, I'm going to like obviously talk about our podcast on Twitter over this.
Well, and the rest of your work as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really empowering and dynamic and beautiful to see all these Muslim women who are out there getting shit done.
Yeah, it was an opportunity for me to also discover a lot of the work that a lot of Muslim women are doing.
It was amazing. It was so amazing to see all these women out there. And then I feel like this was the first time that like Trump got real pushback. Don't you? Like, I feel like Trump had pushback before, but all of a sudden people were like, you don't really mess with military families. That's kind of where you draw the line.
Yeah, that was kind of the start of it because he's been plummeting.
Right. And I think he could not recover from that because he was just like, I don't understand. My anti-Muslim message isn't working when it's against military that's fighting for America.
It just makes me so angry because it all just boils right back down to xenophobia and racism.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand like why people are, are they American enough though? Like, okay, at least when it comes to, like, people dying for our country, then I see some semblance of a line being drawn.
Yeah.
I'm just fed up because I discovered racism in 2008. And I can't believe it's still happening.
Was it, like, in an Easter egg? Or
Yes. I thought it was white and Christian. I opened up a chocolate Easter egg and it said, ha ha, you've been Muslim all this time and you're brown. Sorry, Persian girl, you're not white. Doesn't matter how much Prada you buy, I am. And I have not been the same since.
Oh, I have one more thing to add to Election Watch. I went to St. Louis for Netroots Nation, which is a conference I always go to. I was in the hotel lobby and I saw Keith Ellison and I went up to him and like super geeked out. I was like, hi, I'm Taz. I'm from the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast.
Did you tell him about our podcast? Oh, you did.
Yeah, I did tell him about the podcast. He's like, oh, cool. Then like he like went and did some meeting. Then he came over. He's like, what's the name of your podcast again? And I watched him as he pulled up his phone and put in our podcast. So hi, Keith Ellison. I know you're listening because it looked like you were downloading our podcast.
I'll just say, Keith Ellison, because you're probably listening, maybe right now, if you're listening, because you're probably listening, just send us a tweet and be like, hey, back.
Hey. So Keith Ellison is the congressman representing the 5th District in Minnesota. He's been a longtime speaker on Muslim issues. He's the first Muslim in Congress. We have a second one, too, named Andre Carson. So we have two Muslim folks in Congress, and Keith Ellison's been really outspoken. We've given him a Good Muslim Award before on our podcast, so we're a huge fan of him.
And it was kind of cool to discover when we were at the White House that they were both sworn in on the Thomas Jefferson Koran.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Did you guys know that? That there is a Thomas Jefferson Koran in the White House?
And when I went for the White House Eid party, they had the Koran out so that we could look at it. We couldn't touch it. As we were walking into the White House, there was a man with gloves who was kind of like turning the pages of the White House Koran. And it was amazing. I tried to take a picture of it, but there, it was really crowded. I took a Snapchat. I was Snapchatting.
But then that means the pictures are gone now.
I know.
So when you go to the White House a third time.
let's hope that Trump doesn't get into office so that actually happens.
Blech. I just threw up in my mouth. All right. So that my acid reflux goes away, let's please talk about good Muslim awards. Muslim women are killing it at the Olympics.
I know. It's so exciting. Have you been watching the Olympics?
Yes.
I've been watching it when it pops up on my computer.
I'm obsessed with physical prowess.
Which one? What were you most obsessed with this Olympics?
The gymnastics.
Oh, they looked really amazing. They got some serious airtime.
Do you like when you watch the Olympics, kind of like when you watch music videos, do you imagine yourself?
No.
Oh.
Wait, do you do that for music videos? You're like, I want to be this video girl shaking my booty in DJ Khaled's. No?
When you say it that way. Oh, I want to be DJ Khaled, but also the girl with the booty.
Right, right.
That's me shaking my booty.
So I wanted to give a good Muslim award to Muslim women in the Olympics. They were killing it. It was amazing. We have two women from the U.S. team, both named Muhammad, which is kind of amazing. One was Dalia Muhammad, who won the 400-meter hurdle in track and field. She got a gold, which is kind of amazing. And the other one is Iftahij Muhammad, who won a bronze in fencing.
There was some controversy around that.
Oh, really? What was it?
Well, because Iftahij wears hijab.
Yeah.
And has been everywhere in the media.
Yeah.
Whereas we haven't heard as much about Dalila Muhammad.
Yeah.
Who does not wear hijab.
Right. And she wears a midriff and like shorts because that's what you wear when you're doing cross country.
Right. So there's this like interesting controversy around media using, classic photos and images of Muslim women to say like this is the standard Muslim woman.
Right.
And also the sort of more conservative Muslims who get behind women wearing the hijab as like the good Muslim women.
Well, we're giving the good Muslim award to both of these women because we don't think those standards really matter.
And our award means way more than anything you get from the Olympics.
Did you have a award to give out?
Yes, I do. I'm giving my good Muslim award out to Reshma Razvi and Arash Shireen Bab of the ICCNC, the Islamic Cultural Center, which we performed at recently.
Yeah.
Which also incidentally got an iTunes editor pick. Just if you're listening to this, if you didn't know that, you haven't listened to that episode.
You're probably listening to this because you heard us through the editor pick on iTunes.
He's powerful.
Yeah.
And they've created this cultural center at the Islamic Center. And I know that they get some pushback around like, is it an art space? Is it a culture space? Which of course for us, it's like, they kind of go hand in hand, but it's so crucial. And they've really what's the idiom? Carry the torch.
Yeah. I mean, since we're talking about Olympics, we can say carry the torch.
They've created this really diverse space of Muslims where it's not just Shia and Sunni.
Yeah.
There's the Dawoodi Bora. There's Ismaili. There's, Nation of Islam, and all coming together for this conversation around Cal Shakes, which is like the award-winning Shakespeare company in the Bay Area, putting on Othello this September.
Is Othello a Muslim story?
He is. He is a Moor.
Oh, so that was the tie-in.
So the managing director, Susie Falk, and the artistic director, Eric Ting, contacted the Islamic Cultural Center because also they could, because this arts and culture center exists, because Reshma and Arash have been putting it together and making sure that it survives. And it's like their side job. It's not even their main job, right? Which so many of us in social justice work and, culture shifting activism, et cetera, awesomeness. For so many of us, it is our side job. Made it possible so that we could have this like really diverse conversation. I'll touch on this a little bit more in my fatwa. For now, just for Reshma and Arash, huge good Muslim award for making that conversation possible. I'm really curious about seeing Othello.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it either. Hopefully I can come up to the Bay for this because I think it's going to be a really interesting play. Now it's time for Awkward Ask a Muslim, where we talk about things that are awkward.
Awkward.
Do you have an awkward ask a Muslim?
Oh, coming out to my folks as being bisexual?
Oh, just that on the last podcast.
That's all. It was just a little bit awkward. Just a little bit.
How'd that go? Did they listen to it first or did you?
No.
Because your dad listens to the podcast.
I know. And I was like, And also both my parents follow me on Twitter where I was posting about having not told my parents yet.
Did they read that?
I was so scared about broaching the topic that I just kept waiting for them coming to me because they read something or heard something.
Right, right.
And that was making me ill every day because every time my mom was like, can I ask you something? And I would
Can you go get the toilet paper from the bathroom?
Exactly.
She's like, oh
my God. Do you want salt on your cucumbers? Yeah. That was super awkward. But it turned out that the conversation was actually like really lovely and surprising.
Oh, that's great.
Of course, my mom wanted to know immediately which of my friends I've slept with.
Of course.
The first question. But like my parents were like, and? And I was like, and nothing. I've just been in cold sweats about this for 2 months. And? Then my dad was like, good luck with women. Ha 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 ha. You know, like made a joke. My mom hit him. And then they moved on and I told them like, this is like a huge thing. And they were like, why are you talking about this? You're married to a man. And I was like, I know, but there are so many Muslims that, you know, say you can't be gay and Muslim. And my dad was like, well, that's a shit.
Oh, that's great. I think what was really interesting to see was all the Twitter responses. So we got a Twitter response. We got a couple of emails. So everyone was very supportive on social media. I didn't see anything negative, which was really great to see.
No, and thank you, everybody, because I really, really needed the love.
Yeah.
I felt like such a coward, and all I got was so much love from my queer community and people just like telling me, oh my God, like this is, it's a stage. Like this is a stage of the process. And that was very validating, and I very much needed that support. So thank you all. Taz, your awkward ask a Muslim this month?
Okay, I have a prop for this. Hold on.
Oh my God.
All right, tell me what you see.
All right, I'm looking at this gorgeous fabric.
Yeah.
That has all kinds of
brown faces, right? So there's like a woman in niqab, there's a man in a turban, there's another man in like a Middle Eastern tupi, there's a woman in a dupatta.
Well, some of the faces are blue and...
Blue, but they're, you know, it's implied purple. That it's like a brown person. They're definitely like not white people, right?
Yes.
These aren't white faces.
Yes.
I was at a ice cream shop eating ice cream because it was summertime. And I saw a white woman sitting next to me wearing this dress with all these faces on it.
But are they all the people she slept with?
So I saw this white woman wearing this beautiful orange fabric with all these faces on it. And I got really uncomfortable because I was like, I want to wear that dress. Why do you get to wear this dress of my people's faces on it? And I don't have a dress with my people's faces on it. So then I asked her, I was like, where did you get your dress from? And she said, oh, I got it in Turkey. I was like, where can I get a dress like that? She's like, oh, it's going to be really hard because, you know, of everything that's happening in Turkey now. Then I was just like, oh, this woman has no shame that she's wearing my people's faces on her dress. And she just like answered the question as if it was like, cool. And I was like, man, I'm so uncomfortable by this implicit microaggression that I'm experiencing right now.
Well, Taz, I feel like you're being a little bit judgmental. I mean, maybe she woke up that morning and she was like, I want to put on a garb that shows all of the people I've conquered as a race.
Right? And then I started judging. I was like, am I wrong? But then I was like, well, if these faces were black faces or Asian faces,
oh, yeah, it'd be obvious
that a white woman shouldn't be wearing it. But because these are brown faces, all of a sudden, like, it's supposed to be appreciation. And I got really, like, I got really confused, and I got into a lot of conversations with a lot of people over this. I don't know if you saw my Facebook. There's a huge thread on this conversation. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think a white woman should be able to wear brown faces?
No, that's weird.
Right, right. Okay, cool. I just needed confirmation.
Super awkward.
Just needed confirmation.
Wait, I also think that this photo is phenomenal because you have it of her back.
Well, I asked her for permission to take her photo too. And she's like, yeah, of course you can take the photo. And then I was like, okay.
I can't believe that like this is such a classic awkward Muslim because it's like, oh, I'm just going to get ice cream. And now like, oh, colonization and microaggressions.
Yeah, microaggressions. And I feel terrible about myself. Yet I want that material. Give me your dress. I really wanted to tackle her for that dress because it was really cute.
What are your toppings, by the way, when you go?
I just like to get the red velvet.
Plain?
Macaroon ice cream sandwich from Milk.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right, it's fatwa time. Taz, our fatwa landscape has been changed because we now know there are destructive and or just, you know, neutral amendment base and also positive fatwas.
Positive fatwas. My fatwa is based on HBO's latest show, Night Of, starring Riz Ahmed. I want a fatwa, the white girl that got into his cab.
I'm pretty sure it didn't turn out well for her.
It did not turn out well for her. I'm trying not to be spoilers, but every single step he took in that first show, fatwa all of that. Because I was like, what are you doing? Don't you know better? Don't you know better, brown boy, to not steal your dad's cab, not to pick up white women in your dad's cab? And at the
spoilers.
Yeah. At the end, I was like, I knew this was going to happen. Yeah. So I'm fatwaing all of that. That being said, I would never fatwa Riz Ahmed because he's amazing. And get at me, Riz. Hey.
Pretty hot, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to fatwa mansplaining.
Oh, yeah?
Have we done that yet? I would like to fatwa that in a destructive way.
Double that. Second that. Triple.
Here's something I didn't know happens when you declare your bisexuality. All of your straight white male friends start to ask you, all of the women that you would sleep with, to gauge how gay you are.
What?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
I was like, am I really getting mansplained about who I would or wouldn't fuck based off of a straight white male rubric for like who's hot and who's not?
I'm also like more confused as the fact that you have straight white male friends to have these conversations with.
Well, I'm straight white male husband.
Yeah, this is true.
And I have to hang out with his people sometimes.
Oh, got it.
Also, I'm in comedy. I don't know if you noticed. Thank God for Jenny Yang's Comedy Festival because we kind of need to take over that shit, guys.
Seriously. So, I mean, here at the Comedy Festival, we have like one token white comedian and a sea of over 100 Asian American comedians, which is kind of amazing.
That's what we're working on.
Yeah.
Token. The white male comic.
Do you have a creeping Sharia?
Okay, well, I'm torn.
Oh.
There are so many creeping Sharias. I'm so proud.
Yeah.
Guys, we are winning. All right. Couple of creeping Sharias.
Oh, okay.
And then maybe we can decide which one we like
okay,
the most.
Okay, yeah, go.
All right. Number one, A, Comedy Festival.
Wait, I don't get it.
I don't know. We're just creeping.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Oh, so that we're here. We're here creeping into the Comedy Festival.
I guess it's not really creeping because like it's like a...
We got invited.
We got invited. We're here.
We're in the podcast lounge.
I guess I just was like, but we collectively are creeping in on the all-white male stand-up.
We're not creeping in here. We're, like, coming in at full force. We're saying we own this space. We meaning Jenny Yang and everyone else.
All right, so that one's out as a creeping.
Okay.
That was more just winning. Pokemon Go.
So you downloaded Pokemon Go last time I saw you. I still haven't downloaded it.
You haven't?
No, I know. I'm so obsessed with it. I just pretend that I'm Pokemon Going on Snapchat.
Okay, wait. This means that you have been lying on Snapchat.
I, on Snapchat, will draw pictures of my version of a Pokemon. That's what you've been seeing on Snapchat.
But I thought you were snapping those.
No, I was snapping them. I was catching them and then snapping them. And then I was drawing my version of a Pokemon Go of like what I would imagine a Pokemon Go to look like if I was in that. Oh, you thought my art was that good. That it was like an actual Pokemon Go.
No, I thought it was just symbolic of your catching of Go Pokemons. Yep. I'm so upset right now. Well, there are Pokemon Go at the mosque.
What? Yep. I feel like this is both halal and haram.
Well, also, I think it's funny because you have to convert to Islam to get into the mosque to get the Pokemon. So go catch them all, guys. Creeping Sharia.
Yeah, I was in the world of elections. They were talking about like setting up gyms at polling places to encourage people to go out to vote. I was like, oh, this is like, you know, this can also happen in the mosque, like setting up these like gyms.
Oh, that is a total 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Put an elliptical in there.
Oh.
And a Pokemon on it. And I'll just like, go, gotta catch them. Oh.
So what's your ranking level in Pokemon Go? Is that a thing I should be asking?
Since you were lying about your Pokemon Go's,
I never claimed that I was Pokemon Going. I was just drawing my version of my Pokemons.
It's a form of lying. It's a form of lying. I'm going to say my rank is 2 million. And also that's how much Pokemon Go I've been playing. It's clear that I've not really been playing it.
Did you see the one that I did at the White House where I like took a picture of the podium?
Where you lied about another Pokemon
Go?
Yeah,
I was like, there's a Pokemon here. So that's my creeping Sharia. I was at the White House for the Eid party the same night that Trump was speaking at the RNC.
Whoa.
Which I thought was pretty amazing. I mean, obviously we've talked about all of the issues with being Muslim and at the White House and all of that. But given the time that we're living in, I thought it was really kind of amazing, particularly because Trump was speaking at the RNC.
It tells you how split the country is right
now.
Yeah. Racist and not racist.
And they had all this Muslim food. So they had
Muslim-y food.
Muslim-y food. So there was, they had grape leaves, they had baklavas, and they had biryani.
Oh my God. There are so many Persians right now who are not listening to this podcast who are so irate and are like, that is not a Muslim food. That is a Persian food. It's also not a Greek food. It's a Persian food.
But the grape leaves? Yeah. They had lamb chops too. I wish I had the menu.
I wish I had the food right now.
The food was really good.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't get over the fact that you were at the White House. You could have gotten a Pokemon Go. It's like once in a lifetime opportunity and you drew it and faked it.
Yeah.
It's going to take me a while to get over that.
Yeah. I was with other people that were collecting Pokemon Go's. I believe Ahmed Ali Akbar was collecting Pokemon Go while we were there.
It's not the same thing. Oh, you met some star power.
I didn't meet her.
What?
Yeah, Iftihaj. I saw her and I was like, hey, I wanted to be like, hey, we give you an award on the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast. And I was like, this is weird. I'm just going to stare at her creepily.
She was probably catching a Pokemon Go.
No, she was taking lots of pictures with lots of people. There was a lot of people there that wanted to photo with her.
No, it's so interesting. I wasn't there.
You were at Sundance. How was that?
Awesome.
Yeah?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous and beautiful, and the Creative Change Retreat is amazing. Thank you so much to the people who organized the Sundance Creative Change Retreat. It was incredible.
Okay, so I guess I'll download Pokemon Go now, and then we can make it a competition, and we'll see who's better at it.
I think that's a good place to close.
Yeah, I think
that's
a good place.
Here's what's going to happen. We're going to leave for now. We're going to download Pokemon Go.
Yeah, we're going to go into the Comedy Festival, a comedy festival, and Pokemon Go with the shit out of this place. So do you have anything coming up?
I'm going to be at Tinder Live NYC with Lane Moore.
What do you know about Tinder?
Absolutely nothing.
I got a lot of notes I can give you.
Okay, good. And I have a cheat sheet up with me.
Awesome.
It'll be September 10th.
Awesome.
I'm also going to be in New York City doing stand-up the entire month.
Whoa, that's intense.
So if you have a room in a comedy room, hit me up. I'm looking for that. If you have a couch I could sleep on, also let me know because I didn't actually book accommodations.
I am releasing an album, which is kind of exciting. So with 18 Million Rising and our community partners, Tractivist, and Collaboration, and Mishti Music, and Tuesday Night Cafe, we are releasing an album called Voices of Our Vote, #, my API vote album. And it is an album featuring 32 Asian American musicians. We're so proud of it. It's going to be dropping on September 6th. You can download it at voicesofourvote.org. It's going to be exclusively on Bandcamp. We have some amazing musicians on it. I've been listening to it a lot because I've been putting it together. We have Rocky Rivera and Dan, a.k.a. Dan, and our friends the Cominas and Fair and Kind. And it sounds so good. I'm so proud of it. So stay tuned. Follow 18 Million Rising for some more information there. We'll be doing some really fun rollouts with it. Oh, and thank you to the Comedy Festival, a comedy festival, for this amazing podcast lounge and this amazing festival. This is the second year it's happening. We're so proud of Jenny Yang and the Asian American Pacific Islander community of Los Angeles for being able to put this together. And hopefully we'll be able to turn this podcast lounge into something bigger and huger and awesome next time.
And happy birthday to our producer, Quincy Sura-Smith.
Welcome to our decade. Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zara Norbash. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar. That's TAZZYSTAR. And Zara at Zara Comedy. That's ZAHRA Comedy. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sura-Smith, and you can find us on the web at goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the #GoodMuslimBadMuslim.
Well, technically, I've worn a wetsuit.
Yeah, which is the creeping Sharia of burkinis.